You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 8. And in light of what this church is all about, I've decided the title of my message today is Demonstrating Holy Ghost Power. You know, the church needs to rise up in the days that we live in. If you spend any time at all watching the news on television or listening to the candidates and what they speak, and then what they're reporting about what our nation's economy is in and what the world's economy is in, we just need to trust God. Amen. We just need God. Because God has a formula, or God has a plan to take care of us. And in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it begins like this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so, what does free mean? Well, to me it means free from sickness, free from disease, free from poverty, free from worry, free from fear, free from anxiety, and all those things that the devil has dreamed up to come against the children of God. Not only the children of God, but of course also the world. But, Jesus has a plan for us on how to be delivered from those things that come against us. And he says, "You shall know the truth." And so, if you're sick, you have some truth to learn. If your finances are not in good shape, you have some truth to learn. You can say God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus until hell freezes over us. And it's not going to work for you if you don't understand the principles of the Word of God. Amen? I mean, there is something to tithing and there is something to giving, on beyond that. And then, that in itself is not enough. You have to build on the inside of you so that when the devil comes to torment you, that you can stand against him and say, "I don't care what you say. I don't care what you're doing. I'm telling you that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, or my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And you're not, if you know the truth, you're not going to say you're broke. If you know the truth, you're not going to say, we just don't have enough. Or if you know the truth, you're not going to say it's not working out, because the Bible says you're snared by the words of your mouth. Amen? You're snared by the words of your mouth. So, that's why when a pastor teaches the Word of God, in over 30 years, I think Pastor Michael has probably repeated himself a time or two, in the messages that he brings. But, it's repetition. You got to keep building that word on the inside. Keep building that word on the inside. And then it's just not enough to come into the church and hear a message, but you need to go home and you need to meditate in the word that was taught. You need to meditate in the scriptures. You need to meditate for yourself. You need to, because it comes a time when you God expects you to stand on your own two feet and not wear the pastor out and stand on the word and take authority over the devil in Jesus' name. That's what it's all about. And so, God has a plan. And his plan is for us to know the truth. And when we know the truth, then it's the truth that will set us free. There's a lot of things that are true. It could be true that you don't have enough money. It could be true that you don't have enough finances. It could be true that you're fighting a sickness or a disease, but that's not the truth. The truth is God supplies all your need, and the truth is that he sent his word and he healed us. That's the truth. Amen? So, what is true is subject to change. But truth does not change. Amen? And here's how the devil works. He comes, with thoughts or demon power. And he comes and once you're a believer, if he's lost you from, if he's lost you from being lost and now you're saved, he wants to keep you from going any further in your walk with God. If you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, he wants you to know that, or he tries to keep you from praying in the Spirit. He tries to bring confusion to you. He tries to stop you from doing things that that you have been taught that you ought to do. And I call it putting you in a casket or a container. to contain you. You know, if you're already saved, he wants to keep you from growing in your faith. He doesn't want you to be empowered, empowering people with good news of Jesus Christ to change the world that you're in. The devil has no thought of allowing you to do that, and he wants to get you so caught up in your own circumstances that you fail to realize that there's a world around about you that needs to be changed by the power of God. Amen. So that's what he's all about. Once he puts that container around you, sometimes you might have a poke a little hole and gasp in some air of some kind or another. But it takes great spiritual energy to break out of the devil's hold when he comes against you in your life. You got to exert some spiritual energy. That's why God, through Jesus Christ, told us that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost brings great spiritual power upon the scene. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, God doesn't intend for us to be poor. God doesn't intend for us to be sick. You know, there's no place in the Bible that says you have to be sick to die to go to heaven. You know, but your body will wear out. You know, wait till you're after 80 at least. You know, for your body to start wearing out, because God promises in the Word 70, or 70 and 10, or maybe even 80. In another place in the Bible, talks about 120. You know, I don't know anybody's lived that long, other than in the Old Testament. You know, the oldest person in the world right now, I think, is 116, and the oldest one died before they got to be 120. But you know, whatever you believe for, whatever you stand for, amen. Matthew. Chapter 8. Are you still here? Yeah. All right. How many brought your Bible today? We don't have a deal to put it up there. So, you can bring the Bible any way you want to. You know, on your iPhone or pad, computer. Praise God. You know that. God has made it easy for us to get into His Word. There's Bible programs that have several different translations of the Bible. There's Bible helps on there that, you don't even have to go to the bookstore and buy books anymore. You can just get it all. Some of it's free. Hallelujah. Thank God for free. That's wonderful. All right. It says in verse 17 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah or Elijah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and took our sicknesses. Now, I want you to get today that, you are the people in Wills Point, Texas, that God is going to use to empower people with the good news of Jesus Christ to change their world. Not every church in this town is teaching you what is being taught in this church. In fact, I'd be surprised if any of them are. But I don't know all the churches in town, but I know, generally speaking, across America, the gospel has just been changed quite a bit since the 70s and 80s. It's just kind of like a social gospel or an unempowering gospel. Sometimes people will say, he's talking about spiritual healing. No, God is not talking about spiritual healing, because you don't need spiritual healing. You get, when you are born again, you are recreated. You are not healed in your spirit. You are a recreated spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things became new. So just put that myth down right now. He's not talking about spiritual healing. He's talking about physical healing. Verse 13 is physical healing. Verse 15 and 16 is physical healing. Verses 8 to 13 is physical healing. You're going to have to go home and read it for yourself. It's erroneous thinking that puts people in early graves. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look over Deuteronomy. I want to dispel another myth here before we go forward with the empowering, demonstrating Holy Ghost power. Deuteronomy 28, let's look at verse 60. In 61, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Yet also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon them until thou be destroyed. Now that's, you look at that, and somebody will bring that up. I was teaching a class not too long ago at the church we attend, and I let off a firestorm. They say, well, God puts sickness on people in order for them to learn. A couple people, not the whole class, but a couple people, because in the Sunday school class, and you can ask questions and everything. And man, it was tough sledding for a little while. Does God use sickness to teach us? Oh, good answer. God is a good God, and I can't believe that God would ever put sickness on somebody in order for them to teach something. This verse in the King James and several others throughout the Old Testament would lead a person to draw this conclusion. But I'm teaching you today because you will come across this as you're going out to empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ. You're going to run into all kinds of things. This is one of them. And I have a little note here in my Bible. It says, Dr. Robert Young has shed some light on this subject as recorded in Young's Analytical Concordance of the Bible. He explains that the Hebrew language contains idioms which cannot be translated into the English language and be properly understood. Also, at the time of the King James translation, there was very little understanding of permissive and causative verbs. Dr. Young states that this verse would more accurately read, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of the law, then will the Lord allow to ascend upon thee until thou be destroyed. And his explanation agrees perfectly with Brother James over in James chapter 1, verse 13. Amen? Let no man say when he's tempted that he's tempted of God, right? Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempts any man with evil. We got a good God. Amen? So then we as believers, we have a responsibility to face up to situations that come into our life and to rise up with the Word of God. And if we don't know what the Word, if we don't have a clear understanding of what the Word of God is, then we need to get into the Word for ourselves. We need to find scriptures that apply to the situation that's coming against us and make our stand against Him. I mean, unless you just want to be a flake. Unless you just want to be, have the devil run roughshod over your life. You need to rise up and stand up against that demonic power. That's just everywhere. It's been loosed everywhere upon the earth because the devil knows his time is short. The Bible says in, is it James 1:17, that every good and perfect gift comes from above? So, how in the world, if God was going to put sickness on a believer, he would have to borrow it from the devil. God is not going to do that. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. See, one of the calling cards is you go out to empower people with the good news of Jesus Christ. If you run into a situation where someone is not well and you can minister to them and get them healed, it's pretty easy to get them born again. Amen. Psalm 103. 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thy iniquities, who heals all our diseases. Jesus healed people of evil diseases. Jesus came against the devil with all He was in Him. The disciples did it. The 70 did it. The early church did it. Then the dark ages came, which it appears that most of the church has never recovered from. In the Old Testament, people were healed. Miracles were done. The dead were raised. In the New Testament, we have a new and better covenant. And under the new and better covenant, people were still healed. People were still delivered. People were still set free. People began to be born again under the new covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. And Acts 1:8. How many know what Acts 1:8 says? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. Power. Everybody say power. Say power. To do what? To be a witness. Amen. I'm going to have my wife share a testimony at this point, or whatever she wants to share at this point. Is that all right? We're just having fun today, right? We're just.
Amen. You're a good crowd. Amen. You can say amen, oh me, or whatever you want to say, as long as it's good while we're preaching, okay? Mm-hmm. It was a couple weeks ago before we came here. You know, we're talking about the empowering and the Holy Spirit and you being available to God to minister to other people. And we were in a little town called Redmond, Oregon. It's on, Portland is over on the coast side, and Redmond is over on the other side of the mountains. And it's in a more arid desert place. So we had taken our son David and his wife and the children over there for a little relaxation. And after they left, we decided to relax some more. Because after they're there, we need to relax. Anyway, so we decided to go downtown. And the downtown area is a lot like Will's Point. It's the downtown area of Will's Point. There's little shops, specialty shops, antique stores, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Our kind of stuff, okay? And so we decided to relax and go down, take a nice walk around town. So we did. And the first place we went to was a little antique store. And we walked in, and it kind of seemed like there was nobody there. And so we just started looking at the junk, J-U-N-Q-U-E. And we decided to just look around and see what they had. I have need of nothing. I guarantee you I have need of nothing. And so anyway, we were walking around, and the cash and wrap part was in the middle of the store. And so we were kind of coming in, and then finally this lady greeted us, and she starts telling me all of the deals that she had in her store. The 50% off the, you know, red tag, the 30% off of the orange tag, blah, 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 blah. Everything was on sale. And I thought, wow, we hit the jackpot. Yeah. Well, I guarantee you we did. So anyway, we said, well, we appreciate that. And I said, are you closing your store? Because usually when you see something like that, what do you figure? With your lightning fast brain, you figure they're closing the doors. And she said, and it was like she was undecided, but everything was on sale. And she said, I had colon cancer 6 years ago. And I said, my heart of compassion goes out when I hear somebody has something. And like that. Because I know Jesus is the healer. Both Gary and I know that. We've ministered healing to people. We've seen healing. You've seen it here. And so anyway, we started talking to her about that. And she said that she had two sons later on in life. So, you know, my daughter-in-law, David's wife, always says that I get somebody's life story if I just say hi. Yeah, and that's the truth. Usually I do. But so she started talking and saying she, you know, had her children in, later on in life. And that, you know, she didn't have any grandchildren. And this cancer had come up on her, but she had a clean bill of health for, you know, the 6 years. And she just found out that she had a reoccurrence of this. Well, who do you think that is? Mm. Who do you think the root of that is? Demonic forces. The devil wanted to come back, which he thought was a better time, and put that back on her. And so Gary and I, you will listen to the whole story, and I said, would you mind if we pray for you? And she said, well, yes. And so we found out she was born again. I don't know what kind of church she went to, but she was born again. She's a child of God. So she had to go and wait on some people, and she said, I'll be back. And so we waited for her to come back, and the people left the shop. And she came back over to us, and she said, well, I would really like you to pray for me. She didn't say if anybody else had prayed for her or anything, because we wanted to pray right there. We didn't want to leave the shop and say, hey, we're going to pray for you. Bye now. Have a great day. Because you don't do that when you hear about something like that. You hang around no matter what you've got going. You hang around for the opportunity. Amen? So she said, yes, she wanted us to pray. So Gary prayed an awesome Holy Ghost prayer, bound the devil off of her, rebuked him for coming back to put that cancer back on her. That she was a sister in Christ, and she was a child of God. And how dare him come against her physical body? This was not God. So we command you to leave with your cancer now in Jesus' name. And Gary, you know, he just said, thank you, Father, by the stripes of Jesus, my sister is healed. She receives that healing. And she did. She said she received it. Anyway, after the prayer, Holy Ghost, hallelujah, not loud, but very firm. I'm screaming here, but it was very firm coming against the enemy and the source of that sickness. And she was, you know, tears were coming down her face, and we looked up, and there was a little couple, a real young couple, just standing there. You know, they'd been there through the whole prayer. And they evidently, I mean, they were just standing there, and they said, oh, that was good. You know, and I don't know where they came from. But anyway, they were excited about it, too. They purchased their what they wanted to purchase, and then they left, and then we ministered to her some more about standing on the Word of God. And, you know, people need ministry. You can't just slap them with a prayer and leave. She needed ministry. So Gary and I ministered to her, and I said, one thing, and Brandon and I know this, I'm sure many of you do. Children, grandchildren are the best. You know, your kids are great, but grandchildren are the best. And I told her, I said, it is not God's will for you to die and not have grandchildren. That's the most precious thing in our lives as we get a little bit more mature, are our grandchildren. And so she agreed to that. And so I don't know if her sons are married or not, but, you know, in the future, they'll get married and they'll have children, and she'll be their grandmother. Amen. Healed and whole. So we walked down the street a little bit more, go into a few shops, cross the street. You know how big Will's Point is. Doesn't take long to do that, does it? We walk across the street. We go into this shop with doodads and knickknacks and candles and all that stuff. And first thing, I walk in the door and I smell this wonderful candle. And I said, oh, Gary, before we leave this store, I want to get some of those candles. And so he said, okay. So he wandered around with me in the store and everything. And then we left. And we went to the antique store next door. And Gary was getting into some things. He likes furniture. So anyway, we were looking at some things. And all of a sudden, I thought, all of a sudden, I thought. I had a God thought. Only I didn't know it was a God thought. But see, when you're empowered with the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can change their world, we can change our world, but we can change their life with the Word of God that we have.
Amen.
And I went into the antique store again, you know, and I said, oh, Gary, I forgot to buy those candles. You know, those are the most important thing in the world today. I have to get those candles. So I said, I'll be right back. And so I went next door, back to the store that I had come out of, and there was a little girl at the cash and wrap, and she said, oh, you came back for those candles? They smell so good. Da, 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 da. Always watch for an opportunity from God. Always watch. I mean, you feel so bad when you don't take that opportunity, don't you know? I mean, we've all been there when we don't take that opportunity. And I think more and more we're being sharpened in the Word of God so that we are more in tune. If we're in the Word and we're more in tune with the Holy Ghost, we're going to be there doing God's will. So anyway, I'm standing there and getting my candles, and she had this beautiful ring on, and our Andrea just got married. She's 43?
Going to be.
She's going to be 43. She just got married, never been married. She's a nurse. Anyway, she finally got married. Wonderful young man. Well, he's a little older. But she's 43. I said, all my son-in-laws are getting up on my age now. But anyway, I said, oh, my, what a beautiful ring you have. I said, my daughter has one a lot like that. And I said, is there a special young man that goes with that ring? And she said, yes, there is. And I happened to look up, and right behind her was the screen of the computer. And it had this nice young man in his fatigues, army fatigues. And I said, is that him? And she said, yeah. And I said, what is his name? See, I'm getting to know the lady from birth on up, you know. And so anyway, she said, his name's John. And I said, well, what's your name? And she says, my name's Patsy. Well, for me, my name, everybody calls me Pat. but my given name is Patsy. So, conversation. So she said, yes, my grandmother's a Patricia and my mom's Patty. Those are their given names. And they named her Patsy. What's your middle name? Ann. Oh, that's my name too. I'm Patsy Ann. And so anyway, we got to talking about that, how we spell it, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, where's your husband? I mean, is he reserves or what? Because he had the uniform. She says he's in Afghanistan. Well, what do you think about that? What do you think about those young men and women over in Afghanistan or any place else in this world that are doing their job in harm's way? Amen? And I said, Patsy, I said, would you mind if I pray for you and your husband? He's supposed to get out October 1st. And I said, well, what does he do? And she says, he's a policeman. And one of those stop places where they have to come in and they check him and search him and all that. And I said, well, you know, that's a very dangerous job. But God, I said, I want to pray with you and I want you to agree with me that your husband is safe. And she said, I pray for him every day. And I said, I want to pray with you, and we are going to agree Psalms 91 over him. He is going to return here safely. The devil is not going to do anything to hinder that. He will be back here October 1st. And she said, okay. So I prayed over her, prayed with her. Psalms 91, protection over him. And then, you know, I said, of course, amen, and she appreciated it so much. Okay, we get home from our little trip. Okay, they blew up this police station. They blew up this block with policemen all over it. One after another, there were four in a row within 2 weeks after I had prayed for her husband. Now, the devil will attack your head. And he tried to tell me, uh-oh. I said, no, devil, no, you're not going to touch his life. He will not come back harmed. And I just stood on the word. And I told David, our son, about, you know, praying with her. And then I told him, and he said, you know what, Mom? You got there just in time. You got there just in time to pray for her, to confess the word of God over her husband, so that she doesn't have fear, so that he can come home whole on October 1st. Amen. And so I've got a scripture. I have to take my glasses off because I can read better without them. But I have a scripture concerning the first one. She said she was born again. The other one, I'm not sure, and I didn't find out, and that was my problem. I should have found out. But in Job 22 and 30, I'm going to go back and get these testimonies over in Redmond before the snow flies. It says, let's see, Job 22:30. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. We can pray for those that are not innocent, and God hears our prayers. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. How powerful is that? How powerful is that scripture in Job? Actually, Job is great. You know, acquaint yourself with God. You know God, be at peace, and good shall come. But then at the end of the chapter there, you know, we can pray for those who are not innocent. Don't just fling them aside. Get a prayer going for them when you know they're going through something. Be empowered. Be the empowered people with the good news of Jesus Christ, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to them and point them right to Jesus, so they can't say, oh, this lady came in and she, oh, I don't know, there's something about God up here and I don't know, she said something. No, Jesus Christ sets them free.
That's right.
Sets them free. Amen. Sets us free and sets him free. So I just wanted to give that testimony to you because you are set free. And you can go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you can use every opportunity, wherever you go, the grocery store, the shoe shop, the, you know, wherever, the fast food drive-through place. And you can witness for Jesus. Leave them a good word. Who cares what they think? Who cares? They need a good word today. Amen? You might have a word of knowledge over them. Oh, my. Wouldn't that blow their socks off? If you had a word of knowledge over them. How they know, you know? But they'll know you're from God if you tell them that you're from Jesus. Amen? So thanks for listening. It's good testimonies, right?
Yeah. You know, this is what it's supposed to be like in the life of a believer. Just another day with God. Amen? You just never know. We heard a testimony about in Redding, California. There's a church out in Redding, California. And we heard this testimony. It took place in Walmart. And at Register 9 in a Walmart store there in Redding, California, a person had a seizure and fell on the floor, epileptic fit on the floor. And there happened to be a member of that church in line, and he went over and started praying for this person. And all of a sudden, that person was delivered and set free from that demonic attack that was on him. Looked like, you know, his tongue was hanging out, his eyes bulging out, and everything went back into place. And the guy stood up, and the cashier at Register 9 got on the store, got on the store loudspeaker system and says, "Listen, a healing is taking place at Register 9. If you need healing in your body, we're having a special on healing at Register 9. And people begin to come from throughout the store to come to be prayed for at Register 9 in the Walmart store. Now, come on now. You know, this is, she made mention about, you know, worrying about what they think, but they don't worry about what we think. They throw their stuff in our face every day. You know, they're belligerent about their beliefs. You know, I'm talking about the world side. But how about our side? Man, we have the answer. We have the living God living on the inside of us. We have the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside. God will lead us. God will guide us. God will direct us. But we have to yield to that. We have to, you know, we have to stand up to the lies of the devil and all that he says and how he tries to confuse us. Listen, you know, it says you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you're a born again person, if you've received Jesus into your life, then you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to yield to the Spirit of God and begin to, you know, speaking in tongues is not a one-time experience. You know, it's not, you know, now I do, now I don't. It's supposed to be an everyday thing. It's supposed to be a part of our life. When we don't know how to pray as we should, God's given us a gift to pray and to seek heaven and to speak to God, and God reveal things to us when we don't know, how we ought to proceed in a situation. God has the answer. Amen. You know, God's not senile. He's not sitting up there not talking to us. It's just we have to learn how to listen. We have to get quiet before the Lord sometime. Pray in tongues. Brother Hagin used to say he prayed in tongues until he got a note of victory. Amen? Until he got a note of victory, and then God would speak to him and give him direction, give him what he needs to do. Listen, in Acts chapter 2, it talks about how Pentecost came. You know, with a rushing mighty wind. Came in. And the people that were in the upper room for 120 in the upper room for 10 days received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and came out, and Peter and John were changed, as well as the other ones that were in the upper room. They were changed, and you know, no telling how long they'd gone to the temple every day to pray, but on this special day in chapter 3, they went to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man there from 38 years. This guy had, you know, was crippled from birth. Laid, and they had to bring him there and lay him there. And, you know, anybody who hasn't used their legs and is crippled for 38 years is going to have withered legs, no strength in their legs. This is a notable miracle, and Peter and John had the answer. Why'd they have the answer? They were now filled with the Spirit. It wasn't the same Peter. It wasn't timid Peter who renounced the Lord 3 times. I don't know him. Never heard of him. I haven't been with him. Lying Peter. But Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, turned into a different person, and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so, the guy thought he was going to get something else. But he got surprised. Peter took him by the hand. The man's strength came to that man. And, you know, this wasn't a four-year miracle. This was one of those deals that was just instantaneous. I like those instantaneous miracles. And so, and the result of it, the man went walking, leaping, and praising God. Yes, Lord. All throughout the temple, the people stood in amazement. Well, what is this? Well, this is that. Peter told him, this is that. This is that what? What was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. You have seen what Joel prophesied. This is the outpouring of the Spirit of God that's going to come up on your young men and your handmaidens and all that. You know, going to come upon your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My grandchildren. Listen, you know, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Our daughter Sarah liked to have died not very long ago. She had both types of meningitis. Viral and bacterial at the same time. She was on her way out. But God. Some of our family got upset with us because we didn't share the details with them. Why didn't you do that? Because they don't know how to pray like they should. That's just being honest. I mean, I'm not talking about my own kids, but I'm talking about some other family members that we have. They don't know how to pray, you know. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you know. I mean, you know, so they got a little offended about it, but we weren't going to share with them. We were on our face before God for a week, standing against the devil, not listening to anything, believing God, and but God, she's delivered from that disease. She went to one emergency room, and they told her there was nothing more they could do. That's that. We've given you everything we can give you. There's nothing more we can do. So the next day she went to another place and they said, well, here's the problem. You have this viral, though they tested her and they found out she had viral and bacterial meningitis. Sick girl, that bacteria will work its way into your brain and kill you. Well, thank God we have the word of God. She'll live and not die and she'll declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that we can overcome sickness and disease. That we can be bearers of good news. Now, as for yourself, I got a little something for you. If you take medicine, that's okay. You know, if you put yourself under the doctor's care and the doctor told you to take medicine, you can take it. But here's what I'd put around my medicine bottle if I had one. But I don't. I don't take medicine. I mean, I don't need any right now. Thank God. The only thing I've ever had is some with those pills when you go overseas that you don't get. They told me I need to take them for the water. Malaria pills, yeah. I took them while I was there, and nothing happened, and thank God. But I'm just a testimony of the grace of God. I'm so thankful. I found out that if you're not anxious. And you're not upset, and you're not nervous, you can overcome high blood pressure, which I didn't have, but I'm never nervous. I'm never anxious. And I found out that, you know, the name for blood, you know, I wish I was here a week, I'd just teach on this, but anyway. blood pressure, the name for it is hypertension. Hypertension. So, you know, just settle yourself down the Word of God. Take those pills as long as the doctor tells you to take the pills, but wrap this around the outside. My son, or my daughter, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips far from you. Talk right. Don't talk bad. Don't talk about sickness. Don't talk about how sick you are. Talk about how healed you are. Don't talk about how broke you are. Talk about how blessed you are. Amen? And then do the right thing, you know. Study the word on healing. Give your tithes and offerings to the church. And pray over them and seek God and do the things that are right. Amen? Now, how about one last scripture before we close? How about Proverbs 26:2? The curse causeless does not come. If there is no curse, then the causeless curse shall not come. It shall not take effect. Amen? So there's got to be a cause. What's the cause? I'll tell you one cause. John 10:10 says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, I don't happen to believe that the thief is the devil. I happen to believe it's bad teaching and false teachers. Because if you read the whole context of the thing, I think it talks about false teachers and false doctrine, bad teaching. Amen? So what does it do? It robs us of our belief. Doubt and unbelief. Hallelujah. Amen? If you're saved, then you know it. Say amen.